Space Kate reporting from the International Space University Space Studies Programme 2012. And when we're thinking about space, we generally think about astronauts, engineers and rocket scientists. But my next guest has got quite a different role. It's Dr. Jacques Arnaud, who is the ethics advisor at CNES, which is the French space agency. Let's just start right from the beginning. You're the ethics advisor. What does that really mean? What do you do at work every day?
Every day. In fact, the challenge is to introduce a why question in our work, daily work. A very important point for me in the space history is 2 or 3 years ago, when was published the Augustine report concerning the NASA activities and an American space program. And in this report, you can find very technical aspect, very political aspect, but one paragraph was very interesting. In this paragraph, the report asks, okay, what's the why, the reason why we are going in space? And after 50, 60 years of activity, it's a good time to ask this question, to prepare the future. And very modestly, it's my job to do that, to give the opportunity to my colleagues in the French Space Agency or outside, give the opportunity to say, okay, why are you doing that? And we try together to give an answer.
I mean, for some people, the reason will be exploration, and for other people, it will be so they can put their satellites up and make money. Is there a kind of agreed answer globally as to why we want to go into space, or what is it that draws us into space?
No, you don't have a global answer or only a unique answer. And as you mentioned, sure that you have a lot of reason to go to space. In the history, you can find all these reasons. You mentioned the satellites, the utilization of satellites. Now it's quite clear that we need these satellites for weather prevision or geolocalization, what you want. But if you go 50, 60 years backward, it was not probably the first reason. People, yes, Arthur C. Clarke say, okay, we can perhaps establish satellites on the geostationary orbit, but it was a far future. At this time, it was more military reason and scientific reason. You can say that, yes, space is coming from the desire of military domain and scientific domain. And until now, it's a good reason. I mean, it's a reason to do that. Exploration, you say, yes. It's one of the characteristics of space activities. It's a sort of two-side activity from the terrestrial side, I mean, how we use today all these satellites around the Earth, and the side in the direction of the sky, and it's more exploration. How to combine that? It's not easy, we know, because it depends on our economical capacity, our political situation, and sometimes more the outside exploration side which dominate, and sometimes more the Earth side which dominate, but it's okay, we have not to choose now for the eternity. We have to choose now what is could be good for our societies, for the situation of the Earth, the global situation. And we know that to manage the future of our Earth, we need more and more knowledge, more and more data, more and more satellites. It's a very important reason. So again, it's not a ethic is not a sort of definitive knowledge, it's only an attitude, and it's an interrogative attitude. And after that, we can, or as ethic advisor or ethical committee, we can only give some advice to the political level. Mm-hmm. And after, we have to engage in political decision, we have to choose. But before, we are preparing why we are choosing this or this situation.
I mean, it's interesting you mentioned the sort of military aspects of space. I mean, they're very different viewpoints, aren't they? I mean, if you're going into space to explore, to cooperate, it's a great place for international cooperation. On the other hand, you know, you've got the military utilising space to ensure that they keep their power on the ground, and then you've got businesses that are trying to use space purely because they want to make money, not necessarily for the benefit of all of mankind. So it must be a bit tricky to get ethics to fit in on that. And is it just the space agencies that are looking at the ethical consequences? Are the businesses and military thinking about that at all? I can't imagine they would be.
remember that space activity first are human activities. We all the different aspects of human activity, opinion, and is some activity are very good, other are not so good, and it's human first. So we have to manage that. And for example, all this military utilization of this technology is the same story in aeronautics technology. But even people before this technology are arriving at a good level, they know that one of the utilization of this technology could be probably military. Aeroplanes, yes, at the end of the 19th century, people know that the first utilization of aeroplane would be probably military. And before the launch of the first Sputnik, people know that probably the first utilization of this new technology would be military. It's belong to the human nature. But after that, we have to manage this tendency of human nature. And what is probably very interesting in the space domain is the fact that at the same moment, just at the birth of space activity, one of the first ethical job was to establish a space law. And it's very specific, because in other technical domain, probably you have more time between the moment of the birth of the technology and the moment where the legal dimension are introduced. But in the space history, it's something different. At the same moment of the birth of the technology, you have the first step in the legal dimension. It's very, very specific and very interesting to notice. Very interesting to notice that. It's not enough. It's not because you have a space law that everything is okay. But establishing this, the first space treaty, the first space law, is a very important level on which you can build something. And even in the future, where you can have some more business tendency or more military tendency, you have a sort of, a ground level where you can say, okay, but remember, 50 years ago, we have another opinion what space could be good. Or it's your choice now. You have a sort of reference. Mm-hmm. And I think this reference is, we have to never forget that. In this space activity, we have this particularity of having a sort of primitive space law, primitive ethical decision. And we, again, it's a good thing to build the future, to know that.
I'm just thinking that traditionally, when you think of engineers and scientists, they have a very certain way of thinking, a very technical way of thinking, and they might not be used to kind of thinking about what the work that they're doing could be used for, other than what they're designing, the best sensor for this, because they want to do some particular sensing work, but they might not have thought, well, actually, that could follow on to this. When you're at CNES, do you ever talk to the scientists and engineers that are working on projects and say, have you thought about what this could be used for, and how would you feel if somebody used it for something that wasn't its original purpose?
It's a real challenge to do that. I mean, to say, okay, you are a good engineer, you are a good scientist, but at the same time, you have to be good citizens, I can say that, with a real sense of your responsibility. It's not only your responsibility. I know that you are providing technologies, and after people are their own liberty to use this technology or not, but you are the expert to know what sort of danger probably is linked with this technology or what.
But how much responsibility should they take? I mean, you see things that happen on Twitter that seem terrible, but it's not Twitter's fault, it's the people that use Twitter. And in the same way, if you're a scientist and you've built a particular thing, is it your responsibility how everybody else uses it or not? I guess that's an interesting ethical dilemma for me.
It's not, the question is not to say you are totally responsible or you are not responsible. We are sharing, everybody is sharing a part of this responsibility. You use good or bad or not using some technologies. But what I try to say is that we cannot accept some situation where engineers or scientists say, oh, my activity is totally neutral. And okay, I give you some technology, some knowledge, but I have no interest of what you are doing with that. I'm sorry, I have a great respect to the scientific work or the engineering work, but at the same time, it's people who are doing that. And again, it's citizens and me as me. I mean, when I mean citizens, it's engage in the public responsibility, public debate, and no more and no less. And accepting that, it's very important. And it's belonging to the fact that you are engineer or scientist. And one more, if you are an engineer in a space agency or in a public research institute, I mean, it's public, it's mm-hmm. national, and you are working for a country, for other citizens or people for your own country. So you are really responsible of that. Again, it's a very limited or precise responsibility, but it's not no responsibility. And, you know, perhaps now we are more sensitive to that, but you know, 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago, or sometimes even today, we can hear some scientists saying, oh no, again, my activity is neutral. No, it's not acceptable now to say that.
Well, it's interesting that CNES has actually brought you on. You're full-time and you're the ethics advisor there. What about other space agencies, or are you the only one?
I am the only one to be a sort of official generalist. I mean that, yes, French Space Agency is until now the first agency to take this decision to create this mission. But I found a lot of colleagues engaged in an ethical interrogation, but about a specific domain. For example, planetary protection or space debris management, or even human space flight and connection with other commercial activity, you can find people who are engaging a real ethical reflection, but it's more focused on one topic. What is quite unique, I can say with a smile, is only the fact that I am a sort of generalist. That's unique until now.
Well, it seems like quite an exciting role, and with the developments in space technology going ahead so quickly, there will be some more hot topics. I mean, you touched on a few of them there with the planetary protection and space debris. I guess you'll already be looking into the future to see what other potential issues might come up. Could you give us an idea of some of the things you might be thinking about that could become big hot potatoes in the future?
One of the big or huge domain now is astrobiology. And what I observe and is very interesting is this sort of a combination of two very different domains of research and science until now. If you see the history of science from one side, from astronomy, and from the other side, biology, it's totally different, with different challenge, different process, different way of thinking. And now, in this new domain, I mean, new name domain, astrobiology, it's the occasion to associate these two very old scientific domains. And I think it's really challenging, not only for scientific inside this new domain of astrobiology, but also for people around, and especially concerning the philosophical and ethical domain, because until now we have no idea of the possible success of this domain. Perhaps in the future, we never receive some scientific proof of the existence of extraterrestrial life. But we have to prepare that. We have to prepare the discovery or the no discovery. It's a totally open question, but it's not only a scientific question. It's, again, a philosophical domain, a philosophical question. And I think it has to be a topic of research or ethics. Another topic,
Sorry, just quickly while we're on that. So if for example, I mean, Mars Curiosity will be landing just later this year in August, in fact, in a few weeks' time, really. Yes. And there is a chance that the Curiosity could start to find the first signs of, or first signs that there could have been life. And from what you were saying earlier, you were saying that it would be the scientists' role not just to print their findings very technically and put them in a science journal and let the journalists and the society pick over it, but it would be their role to actually engage with and try and explain that. I mean, that's going to be a big thing. If we do find life somewhere else, that is going to be groundbreaking.
But what is new in this domain is probably the fact that even now, at the first step of astrobiological research, the community of scientists is collaborating with human sciences, with philosophical or ethicist or what you want. And it's not after discovering something, but before any discovery, they know that what they try to find is very important, not only for their own research, for their own science, and could be very important, but also for the other domain of the humankind. And it's only until now, it's only the first step of collaboration, the first step of research, but for me it's very important to know that until now, even now, we know that it's sort of this new domain is not only for scientists, and we try to prepare the future of discovery or no discovery.
Well, I know you are about to leave us, and your time here at SSP 12 is up, but thank you ever so much for taking a moment to talk to you. Very, very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.